Welcome everyone to another episode of Laser Graves. I'm one of your hosts, E.K. Wimmer.
I am the Lord of the Dogs, also known as Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And I was looking today, we normally don't do episode numbers, but this is episode 38. So we are moving and a grooving.
38, don't hesitate.
Shimmy and a shaking. Yeah.
Also, both of us are just saying nerdy things.
Yep. Okay. Welcome everybody. This week we're diving back into the magical realm of sword and sorcery, but...
deep in the bowels of sword and sorcery.
But with a twist, a post-apocalyptic twist, which I'm always happy about.
I mean, we're playing fast and loose with the term post-apocalyptic.
So, before we get started...
yeah.
Thrift store finds.
I got one. Do you have one?
Yeah, but I went first last time, and it was hell's boring, so you go first.
But is yours going to be boring?
To you. It's cool to me.
Oh, maybe you should just always go first. No, if it's going to be VHS.
Oh, let's do paper, rock, scissors.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, ready?
Hold on. I was going to crack my knuckles, but they won't.
Okay,
ready? Go. Oh, what? That's nothing, but my scissors cut it.
No, that's the Crocodile Dundee. I was putting you to sleep like an animal, remember?
I did scissors like a normal person.
Okay, you win, so you got to go first.
Oh, what? Okay. That's lame, and I'm never playing that with you again.
What's your thrift store find of the week?
Okay, today I was on my way to the grocery store, but decided to swoop into Goodwill. Like a... eagle.
Like an eagle, yeah.
Yep, coming in. I landed. Our neighbors were there. They had Starbucks, and we chit-chatted. But really, I was all eyes on the wall that featured an enormous black velvet painting. Enormous. I would say 2 feet by 3 feet.
It's very large.
A very large black velvet painting of a ship at sea. Tempestuous sea. And here's the deal. Have we told them about the bathroom?
Maybe, because last episode we talked about the one that got away. Remember the two nudes embracing? Or the episode before that was in Colorado, but we couldn't like tie it to the top of our truck.
Oh, yeah.
So the reason why I also passed on that is because it was enormous, probably the same size as this.
It was the same size?
And we really only need maybe 2 or 3 more very small paintings.
We need like 6.
So you brought this home.
Okay, so we're trying to coat our bathroom in black velvet. We've done a good job. Some of the highlights are, I would say, I think my favorite is, I don't know, it's a tie between the guy blowing smoke into the chicken's face and the Pink Panther on the toilet.
Yeah, the Pink Panther on the toilet's probably
That's
my
really
favorite.
Good.
There's a couple crying Elvises.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of Jesus looking over the world. There's a bullfighter. It's a whole mixed bag. But yeah. Today's was a pirate ship of some sort.
In a tempestuous sea.
There you go. Good find.
Yeah. I'm distracted right now because our dog, Chujin, the Chinese dog that we adopted earlier this year, is obsessively spinning in circles, digging into the couch, laying down and getting comfortable and then doing it again. So it's very distracting. Yep. I'm ready to podcast, though. What did you find?
Well, this week I found, actually just today, I haven't found any VHS because since I got back from Wyoming, I've been in like a VHS coma from the amazing finds that I haven't really felt the need to go look. So I've been very minimal on that, although I've been doing trades. But today I walked in on my lunch break to a thrift store. And I found, very excited to find this, because we did talk about this on an earlier episode, the original release and cover of Overboard with Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Oh, that's what you got. I was like, why did you get Overboard?
We already have it. But we had a later version. And remember we had this talk about how cool the cover was? It's like this illustration of them falling with the white background. So I found that. And then the awesome one is the lady was standing there with a cart, and I said, did you already put out the VHS? Because normally she has stacks of them. And she said, yeah, I only put out 2. And she pointed at one, and I could see it still sticking out. And it was Peter Greenaway's The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover, which I was just blown away, because
we
both are huge fans of that movie, and I've never once seen it on VHS. And I thought, well, that's, wow, what a cool find.
Peter Greenaway's Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Top shelf.
If you're into art house elitist.
If you want to feel snobby, pour yourself a glass of fancy wine, sit down, watch a Peter Greenaway, and then judge everybody.
That's right. That's what we'll be doing. Actually, I think that film came out in the 80s, so there's a chance we could cover that on this.
I don't even know how we... Well, that one...
kind of fun.
Out of all of his would be probably the most easy to cover.
Yeah, it would probably be the easiest. Anyway, those were my finds today, those two.
Wow, way to go.
Yeah, there you go. There's the thrift store finds of the week.
Hey, tell me a fun fact about yourself.
In what way?
Anyway, just trying to bring something new to the table.
I don't know if I've ever discussed this on the podcast. Here's a fun fact. I, in third grade, entered a contest and won it. It was illustrate a scene from Hank the Cow Dog children's series. Mm-hmm. And then the author came to our school and met with us, and I won. So I got an autographed copy of a book and all this kind of stuff. And I was pretty damn proud of myself.
I feel like you still are.
Oh, yeah.
Do you still have the book?
No, I don't even know what happened to
it. It's probably in that weird crawl space in your mom's house.
That's where everything goes.
That and all of the Black Widows.
Tell me a fun fact about yourself.
Once there was a neighborhood girl that she wasn't a neighborhood girl. She just like moved to our neighborhood for a summer to stay with her grandmother. And she told me her house was haunted. And so we spent one afternoon sitting up in her grandmother's upstairs waiting for this rocking chair to move. And once it kind of slightly moved, but I'm pretty confident that it was the air conditioner. And then we went and bought matching teddy bears to commemorate the event.
You know what? I'm a fan of the fun fact of the week. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we introduce a second segment. How about listeners? I'm sure this will get a flood of emails. Listeners weigh in. And if you want us to add this as a segment of, well, after we do thrift store finds of the week, we'll do fun facts of the week.
But what
about
if we,
ourselves?
But I want to anyway.
That's true. Well, what we'll do is we'll say we just got a lot of response that were that they were all wanting it.
Yes.
Nobody will ever know. Suckers.
Good.
Okay. Let's get into it. This week, I'm very excited. I am more confused because I thought for sure we watched this together.
Yes.
And when I found this backstory, we're covering She from 1984, a legendary B-movie of epic proportions.
It was... top shelf. Oh, I'm stuck on top shelf. It was high quality B movie.
It was A+. And why I was confused is because I found this. This is a really good one to find in the wild. I found it for 50 cents at a thrift store, and I sent you a photo like freaking out. I'm like, it's She. I cannot believe I found a copy of this. And you didn't seem to really care that much. And
no.
I thought, do you not remember this amazing film? And then I've been pushing it for the last few weeks when I give you a stack to choose from for episodes. And you keep passing on it. And finally you chose it. I'm like, great. She's okay. She remembers. And then you told me you had never seen it. And I didn't believe you. And it turns out, I guess you haven't?
No.
Okay, well.
Either that or it was a full memory wash. Usually if I feel like I've seen something... or forget about it, then I start watching it, and I'm like, oh yeah, duh. But I hadn't seen this.
Oh man,
not a one bit of it.
I am a huge, and I'm finding that the more and more this happens, the more I dive in, I'm becoming a much more intense sword and sorcery fan.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm finding that there are some real deep cuts in this genre from the 80s. Like on Instagram, the horror community that I follow, especially the VHS collectors, they find some really obscure ones. And they'll either post the cover, which is already amazing enough, or like a trailer from it. And there's films I've never even heard of, and I am dying to cover them on this like podcast. So
I have a question.
Yeah.
Was this like an appendix to the filmmaking world, and it's shriveled up and been removed? Because you don't see much sword and sorcery in the 21st century.
Well, it was all just... it's kind of similar to the... creature features of lakes and stuff after Jaws. Like, after Jaws, there was this flood of, you know, crocodile, piranha, like all these, you know, random alligator was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
These films that were trying to promote, like, things you could be scared of in the water because Jaws was
such
a huge...
So is this like a flood after legend?
Oh, gosh, no, this is way before Legend. This is a flood after Conan the Barbarian and Conan the Destroyer, Red Sonja.
Yeah, that makes way more
which
sense.
Which our lead was in both of those, so...
Okay, well, let's talk about our lead.
Okay, are we getting into it? We're ready to go?
Well, is the lead's name Sandal?
I think it's Sandal.
It's S-A-N-D-A-H-L.
I think it's where you put the emphasis on the D.
That just sounds like a snobby way of saying, I've bought new sandals, darling.
I think Sandal's kind of like Sybil, right? Like Sybil Shepherd. Remember, there's weird names.
Well, Sybil makes sense. Sandal doesn't to me, but it just maybe that I don't know the cultural touchstone.
Right. Okay, so it's...
So we have Sandal.
Starring Sandal Bergman.
Wait, who's she related to?
I don't know.
Isn't there... There's famous Bergmans.
I don't know.
Okay.
Look it up.
Nah, I don't want to.
She was in Conan. She was in Red Sonja. She was in a previous episode. Do you remember?
Yeah. Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Hell Dirt. Comes to Boring Town.
Yeah.
Is it bad that I loved She the first time I saw it, and this time around when I realized it was the lady from Hell Comes to Frogtown, I had a panic attack of like, what if this sucks too?
Oh.
Because I used to love Hell Comes to Frogtown until we rewatched it, and then I'm like, ooh.
Well, I mean, that one was troubling on many levels, but this one was so ludicrous it didn't matter.
Yeah, it was directed by Avi Nesher. I don't think he did a few things, but nothing of note.
Okay.
So this is really our star is this woman here.
Sandal.
Big old Sandal. So it starts with the Lightning Video logo. I'm a big fan of Lightning Video. I think they do some of my all-time favorite movies. And I had this idea that I was going to start exclusively trying to collect Lightning Video VHS until I realized that they put out like... the most expensive ones.
Oh,
so,
for $1 million.
Yeah, they're so expensive because they're all the cool films. They did not only this, but The Wraith, we have that, Chopping Mall, like really great ones. So,
are there any other beyond those two?
There's a ton. If I was to start to name them off, you'd be like, oh man. So that's probably not an option for me.
Okay.
But I was very excited to see this was a Lightning Video because it makes me happy.
Okay.
I would like to say that's the seal of quality.
You know what was the
instant
seal?
Laser Graves approval.
The seal of quality for me was that we dive right in with a screeching eagle scene. And then it goes into a bunch of weird apocalypse art that I think is supposed to explain what happened prior to this film. But it really in no way does. It's just basically a lot of like...
skeletons and stuff.
Yeah, skulls.
It's a really weird intro because I thought at first was this like another film... like a production company logo thing. Because it did this random scene of an eagle flying, the screech, which, why am I doing them myself when I could superimpose them? So here you go. So it's got the eagle screeches.
Okay, hold on. We got to talk about the eagle screech in our life history.
Sure.
I'll give the abbreviated version.
Hey, listeners, this is our podcast, so deal with it. Here we go.
So one day, many years back, we were in Thermopolis, Wyoming, and we were having great difficulty finding a place to eat. Finally found a place, went inside, sat down, and Bon Jovi's Dead or Alive was playing, and there was an eagle screech like this over the song. Mm-hmm. And then...
it's distracting because as you're talking, it's happening to you right now.
Oh, no! So it's the eagle screech over and over, and... we thought it was that song, but then the next song starts up and there's more eagle screeching. And I think at one point there was a commercial in the radio and we kept hearing eagle screeching. So we thought there was maybe some sort of violent eagle fight out in the parking lot. And one of us went to go check because...
I just had a vision.
Who wants
like
to
the mental
miss an
image
fight?
Of an eagle fight, the parking lot.
That's exactly what we
like,
did, though.
Like, yo, man, meet me in the parking lot.
We were like, what is this? What's happening? If there's an eagle fight, we got to go watch it. Like junior high students, but with an eagle fight.
I thought there'd be like a bunch of junior high students in the parking lot in a circle, but all looking up. And there's like this epic battle in the sky.
So we go out and it's just crickets outside. Nothing. No sound. Come back in. Nonstop eagle screeches like this. And then that's when we realized that for some reason, this particular restaurant just had one running eagle screech on loop over their sound system.
That's right.
That's all.
was good times.
Okay. There's the end of that tale.
So that brings us to the first 30 seconds of the film. That's how far we've gotten so far.
So we have Eagle Screech, Apocalypse Animated. Art, then A View of the Earth, and then we learn it's the year 23 after cancellation.
Yeah, I wrote a note already because with the eagle screeching scene, then the animated credits, and then the view from space, I was like, damn, this film is really reaching new heights to
what is going on?
Achieve greatness. But yeah, we're in the year 23 after cancellation, so you guys know what year that is.
Obviously.
And we all do. Open up on a sexy babe that is operating a ferry. Like, she's got a long stick and she's pushing across a river.
Two men and one woman. Do you know what their names are?
No.
Oh, goodness. So I looked it up because it's oh, wait, not clear.
I do know the two men, Tom and Dick.
You want to know what the girl's name is?
Harry. Yep. No way.
Tom, Dick, and Harry. Those are their names.
Her name is Harry?
It's spelled H-A-R-I. Yes.
Cool.
Yep. I went on to IMDb to confirm. So it's Tom, Dick, and Harry. Tom and Harry, I think, are brother and sister.
Yeah. And then Dick is the friend.
Dick is their buddy.
He's the, like, curly-haired friend.
Yes. Who looks a little bit like Brit.
Yeah, Brit.
Okay. So they're on a little, like, ferry or something with their donkey, and they're going to a village called Heaven's Gate to, it's like a market, I think. So they set up and they're planning to trade, and I guess what they're trading is maybe gloves, because she holds up her hand with a yellow glove at one point, and people are like, ooh.
I do like the, I'm a big fan of in post-apocalyptic market scenes when they're, yes, like trading goods from the past, like the 20th century.
Yeah.
And they have a whole table in this scene that is like cereal, like Captain Crunch and Life cereal.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
It's really funny. It's like they're swapping vintage cereal.
That's pretty fantastic. So they set up to trade, but then a ragtag bunch of brutes come.
It's a village raid.
Yeah, and we later learn, I don't think it really matters, they're Norks. They're from Nork, and they are Norks.
Sure, everybody knows that.
Durr. So they come in, and they're all on horseback, but they're wearing football gear,
It's like a
biker clothes.
With swastikas written, like, yes, drawn all over it.
Yes.
So I was confused. Were they like post-apocalyptic Nazis?
Well, did you notice the hammer and sickle later?
Right. I saw that. So, we'll get to that.
Well, so it's the 1980s and they're just covering, like, these are the bad guys. This is how they label themselves.
Okay. I just didn't know if I missed something, and it was that this takes place in the future where Nazis, like, rule the world.
No. They're just a small sect of Norks.
Okay, so the Norks are like neo-Nazis,
I guess.
And also there's this rock jam playing.
The music.
The soundtrack is something special.
It is. It is a character. Often I disagree when people say music is a character in the film, but in this film,
this is a character that's got dad jeans pulled up really high, so
yes,
you can kind of see a male camel toe. It's the character, this soundtrack, if it was personified, has dad jeans with some cowboy boots. It's got one leg propped up against, like, a door.
Okay.
A little, a cap, like Stevie Ray Vaughan or whatever, that's got the buckles that go around the top of the cap that's
okay,
pushed kind of down.
Can I tell you what shirt it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's sleeveless, obviously, black, and it's got a cartoon badger on it, and it says rad.
Oh, it does. And it's smoking like a cigarette.
Yes.
But it looks like it doesn't want to be messed with.
And it's in front of a cartoon brick wall.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is our soundtrack that we're dealing with. It is pretty amazing. Pretty incredible. So after the village raid, I don't know.
They steal the girl.
There's a lot happening. And I noticed this is the second kind of sword and sorcery type film we've done. Even though this is technically post-apocalyptic, I would say it's much more sword and sorcery.
Yeah.
Remember when we did Sorceress?
Yeah.
And our hands both literally cramped from us frantically trying to write so
yes,
fast? This was happening already because there were, like, football helmets, Nazi symbols,
mm-hmm,
people running around, and I was freaking out trying to write everything down, and then
yes,
I just gave up. And I'm like, you know what? I've played this game before.
Yeah,
there's watch.
When we got to the point where a dude in a silk robe came up and started helping in an abduction, a silk robe that was like something my mother would wear in, like, 1994. I was just like, I don't even know what to do with this.
Yeah, the leader has this, like, bone helmet.
Yep.
And he sends his goons to attack. One is wearing a taekwondo outfit with, like, padded gloves.
Yes.
The other is dressed like a skeleton.
I don't even... I wrote, it basically just everybody grabbed a costume from the Halloween store.
Absolutely. And they were like, the stranger the better. You just...
Just slap a swastika on
show up on set
it.
At this time, and you're a goon from the future.
So they steal Harry, the sister. And then next, we see a bunch of people chanting and bowing, saying what I thought at first was sing, but it turns out they were saying she.
And they're all in, like, diapers. It's like a bunch of buff dudes in diapers.
It was basically like going to a Kundalini yoga experience.
Yeah, it's a bunch of, like, male slaves in diapers surrounded by women, and they're all chanting she. Mm-hmm. She being the goddess that they worship. Speaking of she, you know what I loved? So going back to the title sequence, I love the animated sequence at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. But the font, I don't normally pick up on fonts for movies, but this, like, metallic kind of sharp font that they use for the cover of the movie that says she is really awesome. Like, whoever designed that did a really good job. So
interesting. I was troubled by it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, I love it. It's probably one of my favorite fonts.
Okay.
So then we meet our star, who has her horse stolen. This is she, the goddess she, and she's riding on a horse, and she's like, look out! And Tom is standing in the way, and she falls over off her horse.
He steals her horse.
Yeah, well, instead of helping her up, he just looks at her and then grabs her horse and rides off and leaves her laying there.
Yes.
It's pretty funny.
And then they go to town, they just steal her horse and leave her, and they... Tom and Dick go into the next town where there's more, like, trading, and they just start looking around, and then some babe is, like, winking at Dick.
Yeah, and it's so funny because all the costumes and the nonsense, the extras, the production is so over the top for this dumb film that it must have been a blast to work on.
It had to be so fun.
Either A post-apocalyptic film or B a sword and sorcery film from the 80s. Like, a low budget... Where everybody
so
just gets a free-for-all. I would have loved to have been on a film set. This reminds me of what it must have been like to make Turbo Kid. Like, yeah. It just must have been fun.
Yeah, super fun, for sure. And then, so moving us along, they are abducted by the babe that is flirting with Dick. She drugs them and sells Tom. And then Dick is locked up with the pigs and forced to cut onions, basically.
Yeah, and he's chained up in a pig pen while rock music plays again.
Yes. And then the woman that Tom stole a horse from, who we're going to call she, which is problematic when talking about her, but she finds Tom and says to have him walk the path. And then we get to see the path that Tom has to walk as punishment for pushing her off her horse and stealing it.
Right, and she gets punched. He gets punched in the face by another random female warrior, which is funny, too.
Yeah, and so the path is basically some kind of spiky planks sticking out of the ground in a row that's, like, I don't know, 30 feet long.
Oh, yeah, I definitely wanted to stop and talk about this scene.
Yeah.
They're like railroad spikes that have kind of been sharpened at the ends.
Maybe.
And they're just stuck in the sand, like on a beach, and they're in random rows, and he's pushed into them going,
by the women.
Oh! And they're, like, cutting him open, but they are so dull and large that they would easily just kind of poke
you'd
you
just
and
be like, eh.
Maybe leave a bruise or a red mark.
If you are pushed really hard, maybe.
But they're, like, slicing him open.
Yeah, like they're made out of pure razor blades.
Yes, and then he is letting out a lot of yelling, and it's really funny.
So, and then they leave him to die, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he's left laying there after being put into some, like, lightly sharpened railroad planks And he's just left in the mud to die.
Yeah, and some kind of medicine man, post-apocalyptic medicine man, comes and wants to help him.
Yes.
And he needs to find his sister, because I don't remember how, but was she taken or something like
that? Yeah, that's what I said at the beginning. Coward. Remember in the initial raid, they stick a hook in her leg and take her.
Oh, that's who that was.
Yeah, that's Harry.
It was, okay, in my defense, that is when I was saying I was struggling to keep up with what was going on, because I wasn't expecting the raid right away, and then when the raid happened, it was like pure chaos, and I could not keep up.
Well, let me clarify. So Harry was taken in this raid, and that's the whole point of this entire movie.
Yeah, I know that. I just didn't remember when she was taken. He wants to find his sister, and only she is able to help him find the path to get to the sister.
Yeah, the man who saved Tom is apparently a British genius and reveals to Tom that she is a goddess. And so Tom goes first to find Dick, who is cutting onions with the pigs and crying. He helps them escape, and then they realize they need she to help them find Harry. So next we go to a scene where she goes into a cave. Oh, this is the best scene in the whole movie. This is
definitely my
movie.
Favorite scene in the whole movie.
What even is the purpose of the scene?
Just pure entertainment.
Oh, my
Okay, I'm getting ahead of the game. But I love this movie so much. And this scene is like must watch. If I was teaching film history, like college level class, which I almost got to, this is what my students would have to watch, is this moment. Because this is like pure cinematic genius.
So she goes into a cave filled with like large wooden boxes, like very large, larger than her.
Like crates, like shipping crates.
And first she fights people that began to burst out of boxes. Initially, we have a gladiator and a knight. She fights and defeats the gladiator and the knight after they burst out of the box.
Yeah, let's paint a picture. Like, it's almost
in
like
a cave.
But it's supposed to be kind of like a warehouse where there's goods left around, like a part of a car that's been spray painted. It's kind of like a scene that's supposed to be like a salvage yard almost in a cave.
Yeah.
And then there are these shipping crates that you would think maybe hold like a dresser or, you know.
Maybe some furniture.
Yeah, some furniture in it. And out of nowhere, one at a time, like a video game, as she gets close, these warrior type people break through. They don't like open the door and walk out. They bust through a crate and attack her one at a time.
Yes, and they're all in costume. So we have a gladiator, a knight, one who is like a knight ninja combo. She gets them all, and then the best, of course, is Frankenstein.
Yes, that before we get to Frankenstein,
what
the knight slash ninja was hilarious.
Oh my God.
It was actually three of them, where they're dressed kind of like ninjas, but they act like they're knights. They remind me
knight helmets.
Yeah, they remind me a lot of the Black Knight in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. But
there's a lot of Holy Grail references.
But they're
here.
Like ninjas.
Yes.
And then when we think it's all over, the boss of this scene, if this was a video game, is Frankenstein. Just busts out. It's like actually a guy in a Frankenstein costume, but he's walking around like Frankenstein.
No, it's not a guy in a
Frankenstein. He just has a mask.
No. You don't remember what happens?
No.
This is important.
Okay.
Because it makes no sense.
Oh, as opposed to the entire film thus far?
So he's wearing like a leather jacket that says Mother H on it. And they fight. And then she bites a bolt out of his neck, his Frankenstein bolt. And a bunch of smoke stuff comes out. And his head explodes. And he's a robot.
Oh, that's right. He's the robot. Oh, that's okay. Here's my note. I'm looking at it now and it says, fighter is a Frankenstein robot. His head just blew up. Wow. So, okay, yeah. I was a fan of this scene.
And then after she's finished this, she continues further in the cage where she sees a woman in black sitting on, like, kind of a throne, I guess.
And she enters a mystical pool that she needs to take a little dip in.
The old lady says, "You are pure in body and soul," and allows her to bathe. She says, "You have passed through the cycle again," and then continues on with a warning about a man who will destroy her, but she'll love him. And then she being she, goes back to her room and she is abducted by Tom and Dick. They force her to lead them to the Norks.
That's right.
Yep. So, I mean, none of this is necessary, nor does it make any sense.
Also, there's a 80s rock jam again playing. Our soundtrack has entered the room. He took his hat off. He laid his cigarette down and our soundtrack has now entered again. And he's really jamming now in this film. He's playing a pretty hardcore jam.
Tearing it up.
My only observation was that this was an interesting choice for music.
From start to finish.
Yeah, so they force her to show the way. And I don't know. I have a question.
I have an answer.
Moon pool magic scene where she's like swimming around naked.
I think this is to show that she's a goddess.
Was she considered a babe
in the 80s? Oh, for sure.
This chick?
I mean, well, she doesn't have a shirt on, so for sure.
You know who she reminds me of?
No.
What's her name from Married with Children? The mom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She got, like, the same look.
Got a similar, yeah.
And I could see her kind of having the same, like, attitude offset.
Yeah, cool.
I wonder if they're related.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Twin sisters.
Oh, Sorceress Part 2.
Okay. So they make it to what's like a water treatment facility or a garbage. I don't know. It's unclear, but it's some sort of old industrial place. They chain she up. They start a fire. And then the most perplexing scene of the whole movie, they've started a fire. And Tom just squats on the floor and eats raw kohlrabi.
Is this... Okay, yes. That is weird. But...
Let me chain up this girl. Let me start a fire inside of a building. And then I'm going to squat and chow down on raw kohlrabi.
Was this before or after a group of mummies with sunglasses?
That's about to come.
Okay. I couldn't remember. This is such a weird movie.
So I only actually have one experience with kohlrabi. And that
do tell.
I would like to tell you my kohlrabi story. So my mom grew a single kohlrabi in our garden.
Is that like a beet?
It's like a tuber, I think. It grows underground and it's white and it's like rooty. But I don't think she knew how to cook it. I don't know if you cook it, but it was sliced up and she just put it on our plates. And it tastes like nothing, honestly, just nothing. And I was so furious that my parents were making me eat it. That I outwaited them all. They left. I shoved it into my cheeks. And then I walked to the bathroom. And instead of being a normal person and flushing it down the toilet, because I had to eat it.
Oh, wait, can I guess what you did? Please tell me you wrapped it in toilet paper first and then put it in the toilet.
No, that would have been cool. Instead, I threw it down the heater vents.
Oh,
because we had like an ancient house that had large heating vents. And I just... fished it out of my mouth and snuck it down the vents.
Okay, so this scene really hit home for you.
I just have like flashbacks when I see kohlrabi now.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway, he eats his kohlrabi, and then we do another flashback to the women that surround she. It's a bunch of lady warriors. They notice she's missing, and they are in hot pursuit. So she's people, which are all lady warriors, come hunting for her. And then we go back to Tom, she, and Dick, and they're all prodded awake with chainsaws, like actual chainsaws, but they're not running. They just poke at them till they wake up by men who are dressed as mummies wearing sunglasses, and they describe themselves as mutants.
Can I also point out that the top half are wrapped like mummies, but the bottom half, they're basically just wearing, like, jock straps with no pants.
I thank you for pointing that out.
It's such a cool set. This film, if this was made now, would have the coolest little action figures to go along with it.
Oh,
could you imagine having action figures from this movie?
Let's make them. This is our fortune.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. All right, goals. So, yes, the mummies with jock straps and sunglasses capture them with chainsaws. And then there's this whole escape. Like, they trap them in a room that's going to, like...
like a large trash compactor, and they turn it on.
Yeah, it's like a Star Wars scene where it's going to squash them. And so they're going to escape. while they're escaping, there is this incredible song. Old Man McGee soundtrack walks in and puts his hat back on. This time, though, guess what he does?
What?
He reaches down.
What is it?
Cracks open his guitar case.
No.
Pulls it out. He does a little ding to start it.
He didn't.
And he plays a jam called Rescue Me.
Oh, yeah.
While they're trying to escape from the trash compactor.
Because the lady warriors come and rescue
him. Yes. This is performed by Rick Wakeman of the band Yes.
And yes.
The singer's name is Maggie Bell. And I just wrote that there is a lot of organ jam solos in the middle.
What more do you need? What more?
More of this is what
more
I need.
More organ jam solos.
If this was ever on vinyl as a soundtrack and somebody is hoarding it out there, contact me.
Oh, yeah.
I need it.
I would listen to it for sure.
I would too.
So, back to the story. They, the lady warriors come in to rescue Tom, Dick, and she from the trash compactor, and they do this by just randomly pressing buttons, which I was like, please light the fire, like the incinerator, and like just have them be incinerated and the movie goes in a different direction. But no, they finally get it right. They get them out. The lady warriors are victorious, and she and Tom and Dick are gonna, like, Tom and Dick are now she's prisoners. But then she points them in the right direction. She's like, you're not my prisoners. Just kidding. That's the way to the Norks.
Can I... One minor thing you glossed over.
What?
Which I feel like we should mention. Is that they kind of also just pull the limbs off of the mummy people.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
And it's like jokey funny, too.
Yeah, they just... It's very...
Slapstick.
Very Black Knight from Monty Python.
Not the only...
pull the arm off. And the guy's like,
not the only arm
hey.
To be lost in this movie.
Okay. So then they stumble across some majestic Greek pool scene where there's this, like...
Tom and Dick.
Enlightened society that are all dressed really beautiful in white clothing, walking around pools.
Like a garden party. There's lots of balloons.
Yeah, and I love Dick's quote here. I think this is the only quote I wrote down. I might have wrote another one down. But Dick, they're spying at all these people that are dressed like Greek gods and goddesses walking around a pool in the middle of nowhere. And Dick just says, what is this place? The Funny Farm?
It is the Funny Farm. Also, she and her right-hand woman, Shanda, have...
Shanda.
That's what I just said.
I was just reinforcing that was her name.
Oh, okay. That was very confusing. I had a friend...
What was her name?
Shanda.
Shanda.
Friend as a kid named Shanda.
Really?
Yeah. I've known a single
Shanda.
Seems
like a Montana name.
It was. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're at this weird garden party. A woman from the party winks and kisses. They're invited in, and they join. They have dinner. And meanwhile, she's creeping outside while everyone inside is partying. And then just they group fall asleep on the floor of this party, which is odd.
It is weird. They all change, too. So, like, Dick and Tom are now in...
Formal wear.
Dick is in another film. That I, you know, I was mentioning that there are these films I'm seeing, like, on Instagram from other collectors.
Yeah.
That I'm just make. I have a running list now of, like, I've got to see this film, too. He was also in another film that I already had marked as one that we have to track down for Laser Graves, called Warrior of the Lost World, and it looks amazing. It
sounds good. Are they with dinosaurs?
No, I think it's, like, another post-apocalyptic film.
All right.
But, like, more... Blade Runner style. I don't know. I could be totally wrong.
All right. So I would like to take this moment to note something that I think they were trying to do, but it's sort of like a not fully formed concept.
Okay.
So we have this Greek party, but the people at the party are all like college age people, but like it's like a frat party, like a Greek party, like Alpha...
Yes.
Sci-fi, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're vampires.
Like, what was the sorority you were in? Pi Omega?
Shut your pie hole. shut your fi hole. So they're at this party. I think that whoever read it has a problem with sorority or the Greek.
Oh, you think this is the commentary?
Yeah, because all of these people are vampires and try to feast on.
Oh, I like it. Social commentary on sororities and fraternities.
Nothing like mixing that with post-apocalyptic Nazis.
Well, they all passed out after a 50s dance. I also made a note of Tom's formal wear. He has this nice suit on, but he has no shirt, but he does have a blue tie.
Oh,
did you notice that?
I did
not. So it's
not.
Just his ripped pecs with a blue tie and a dress coat over the top of it.
Look, if you spend that much time on your abs, you're going to take every chance.
Yeah, and also before they passed out, Dick was getting drunk and really rowdy and kind of messing with the women.
He was lame.
Yeah, and the main Greek guy was kind of annoyed and said to Tom, "Your friend is over-enthusiastic." And Tom's response was, "My friend's an asshole."
Oh, okay. Wow, you really threw him under the bus there.
Yeah. Well, but then it flashes to Dick, and he really was being an asshole.
Yeah, he was definitely overstepping, but we're also in the apocalypse, and people's manners have gone throughout.
Okay, so after the party, they're filled with vampires, and then she and her helper, Shanda, come save them.
Yes.
And then they are stumbling. Okay, I love this, too, about adventure movies. It's always, especially in post-apocalyptic movies, where you're just wandering from settlement to settlement.
Yeah.
And every settlement has its own unique twist. So they just got done with the Greek vampires.
Yep.
And now we get to the really good one. This is the one where I thought, okay, now you're going to remember that you've seen this movie because...
Nope.
There is no way. Okay, remember when we did the episode on Burial Ground?
Yeah.
Mama. And I knew once you saw that scene, you would know if you saw it or not. And you didn't register it, that I was like, oh, you really did not see this movie.
Mama.
When we got to this, the Palace of Godan, I thought, oh, she's going to totally remember Godan, and you didn't. So that's when I realized, oh,
yeah,
you actually
I would have
never
definitely
saw this film.
Remembered
like,
Godan.
Maybe we saw it 20 years ago, but I don't think you ever did see this.
Did you imagine Godan as Eli Roth? Because that's exactly what I did.
No, because they've got all... You do remember, is it Shepard Fairey that did all the Andre the Giant stickers? They kind of look like those.
Yeah,
there's
so
posters
there are
everywhere.
Posters covering every square inch of building surface as they come into town. She, Tom, and Dick. And Shanda. They all come into town. All of the buildings are these Andre the Giant style posters covering everything. They get brought in.
And they all say Godan, but the G is like a C with a hammer and sickle.
It's
to
a hammer
make
and sickle.
And
everybody's got a hammer and sickle.
I've noticed a side effect. I'm going to say it's a positive side effect, but it could be seen as a negative one of this podcast. Running this podcast is... There are things that I see in movies that I think we need to have that in our life. And the Godan poster was so cool.
Did you make a Godan poster?
I'm going to, because I looked to see if it was available and I didn't see one. But I am currently looking past you at a framed copy of the last time this happened, which is when we were covering Vicious Lips. And I found the movie poster and bought it. And you know what? I don't regret anything.
There it is.
Very satisfied and happy with my decisions. I do
all of them.
All of them. And I feel like we need somewhere in the VHS vault that we record in a replica of that Godan poster because it was so funny.
It's good. It's good. Okay.
Godan is a let's get to it. They're in the place of Godan and he walks in. He's like carted in because he's a god.
He's carried
too.
On a litter.
So she is a god, but Godan is also a god.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in and says, "Who are you?" And she says, "I am she, the goddess of, you know, whatever she's talking about." And he his response is hilarious. He says, "You're the goddess of nothing."
Which, I mean, that's true.
And then Godan has some powers that are pretty damn cool because so far she's powers as a goddess is nothing.
Well, she can fight robot Frankenstein and go bathe. And
she's a fighter, but they're...
I think the special pool heals her.
Okay, but she doesn't have cool powers like Godan.
Yeah.
Godan takes she and the helper and the friends,
Shanda.
Tom and Dick, are like, no, we're not loyal to them. That's not our god. And they're like, thanks a lot, dudes. And then he uses his mind powers with, like, glowing eyes.
His eyes turn, like, a green glow.
Yeah, to make them, like, fly around the room. And the effects, listeners out there, they're exactly what you think the effects are. Mm-hmm. And in all
high
their glory.
Quality.
They're kind of the equivalent to, do you remember at the end of Sorceress when the head appears and fights the, like, demon in the sky? I love these effects.
Yes, same so thing.
It's this kind of effect, and they pin them to the wall with their effects, and then they take them away to torture them.
She and Shanda.
Yeah, and we get this next scene is like a sexy whipping scene. I can't tell what they're trying
to do
here. Well,
it's really weird because they're whipping She a whole bunch, but she's like, ooh, ah! But she just has, like, tiny lines on her, and if you'd been whipped as many times as they are alleging that she's been whipped, mm-hmm. she'd not be okay.
And what is that? What is that I hear? It's like a... It's our soundtrack walking back in with his cowboy boots.
Guess what
he's playing now.
What?
He's playing a little ditty called Scream in the Night.
Oh!
Lyrics written by the director. Performed by the band Bastards.
Oh.
It was an awesome song. I love this song. The lyrics are hilarious. They're on the nose and leave nothing to the imagination.
Nope. Are they like...
They're describing exactly what's happening.
Godan's getting you whipped.
So thanks, director, for writing lyrics. So then our soundtrack, he wraps up his guitar case, collects his money for that jam.
Uh-huh.
Exits this scene.
Yes. And meanwhile, Tom and Dick are eating with a bunch of weird Godan monks, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And is this when we meet Godan's total babe of a helper?
She is such a babe. I don't know what else she did, but I would love to see her in a 70s vampire movie.
Yeah, her name's...
Take it back in time, do a 70s vampire movie in Spain.
Taffer is her accredited name,
what?
Which I don't think he ever says once.
Ah.
She's real cool.
She was cool. She has cheekbones for days.
Okay, I want to say Sandra. Are you sure it's not Sandra?
No, it's S-A... I'm going to look it up here. I'm going to look it up. Hold on.
Okay. While you're looking that up, the helper is being tortured while Tom and Dick are eating chicken. Did you get that scene?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're hearing her scream, and it's like, ah, in the background, and they're eating their chicken. And they're like, they have this moral dilemma.
What?
Should they eat chicken and ignore her screams and torture, or should they go rescue her?
They're going to eat for a while.
They're definitely going to at least finish their chicken. Then they're going to go rescue
her. Then they're going to ask for an apple.
Okay.
Okay, here it comes.
What
I've got it. Her name is Sandal. S-A-N-D-A-H-L.
No, that's the main actress's real name. I'm saying the friend's character name.
Well, that is credited on here as Chandra. But in the movie, they call her Shanda. And on the credits of the movie, it says Shanda.
Okay.
That's what was confusing. Because I'd read it last night on here as Chandra. But they don't ever say Chandra. It's Shanda.
Shanda?
Yeah, it's miscredited on IMDb because on the credits of the movie, it's Shanda.
Okay, I was only one letter off.
Rhymes with panda.
I just forgot the H. I had Sandra.
No.
Chandra.
Yes, not to be confused with the main actress who plays She named
Sandra. It sounds like if... what's his name that played Bond? The...
Pierce Brosnan.
No, Sean Connery. If he was calling her, Sandra's her name, and he was like, Chandra, come here.
Except for no R.
Yeah.
It's Shanda. Shanda.
Okay, well, I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
Where are we?
Tom and Dick ate their chicken and then decided to go save her.
But Shanda is the only one there because Godan's like, she is... What did he call her? Oh, he says, take her to his study because he's going to study her spirit. She's spirit.
Right.
So it's just Shanda that the guys rescue at first.
But then when they come in, Godan uses his green eyes to control everybody. And is, like, taking control of the situation. But as we, like, move forward, because we're in this scene for a while, a twist happens. And the babe that is his helper...
Yeah.
What's
her name?
Cheekbones
McGee.
Taffer. Takes an axe and just axes him.
Well, because she's jealous of the affection he's given to She.
Okay.
So she axes him. He uses a cord to choke her. And everybody's like...
This is a long scene with this, like, triumphant music playing. This scene made me laugh out loud.
It was...
Because he got axed, right? So he's got an axe in him.
Uh-huh.
She's standing in front of him, his helper that betrayed him.
She's explaining why she did it.
And meanwhile, while he's dying from an axe wound, he uses his mind power to take, like, the strap from the curtain rod, and it floats through the air and wraps around her neck.
But she kind of leans into it, too.
And it starts to choke her, and they're basically just face-to-face, both slowly sliding down, dying. While she's actively being choked, mm-hmm. and he's got an axe in him, the entire gang of Tom and Dick, the helper, and she are all just
Shanda.
Watching.
Yeah, then nobody goes to help her.
Not once did they go to cut the rope to free this woman who clearly has more than enough time.
Yeah, and she helped them already.
I know, and I was like, they're just completely observing this whole situation.
Yep.
Takes forever with the triumphant music playing, and then they both just die, and they're like, okay, well, that's that.
Let's go. And then she demands that all the rest of the followers
bow down to her. Yeah,
like, and they do.
Pled their allegiance. And then they're wandering through the forest to the next scene, and we see that there is a skeleton prop that was bought at the local Halloween store that's tied up to a tree that they pass by. That's scary.
There's a bunch of them, too.
Yeah. And then we get introduced to a new character in the forest who has... white tights and pink slippers.
He's in, like, a pink tutu. He's got a crown, a feather boa.
It's a very large man with a big beard.
And, like, loads of back hair.
Dressed as a ballerina.
Yep.
Yep. And that's what we're dealing with.
And then there's a green mist that comes in when they all start to battle him.
Is he supposed to be a giant?
I don't know. But it knocks the she and crew out. So they're all out, except for Tom... quickly scoots up a tree above the mist, and he kind of passes out in the tree, but he's safe, and the giant, or whatever...
The guy in the tutu with the back hair and the beard...
Can't find Tom, but he collects the others, and
because he has a gas mask.
Yeah, he has a gas mask. They don't. He takes them back to what's like a big greenhouse, and in there's a guy who is dressed in like a pink Paul Revere suit. They put everybody else in like these... It's like you took a clear tarp... laid it on the ground, put a hula hoop under it, and then scooped all the edges up, tied a rope around the top, and hung it from the ceiling.
Yes.
And then there are people inside of it.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and apparently they're
it's
just
interesting.
Now... Well, I don't know what else to say about that. But they're apparently now, like, captive in this lab kind of greenhouse makeshift thing.
Whatever.
This is just the yet another thing.
Another homestead.
Encampment, yeah, that they've come across. So we can skip past this because they end up escaping.
Boring.
Yeah. And then they bust out of it. And then finally we'll get to like the main boss appears that we met at the beginning.
Yeah. But we should say Shanda escapes and goes back for help with the ladies.
Right.
And Tom is still missing because he was up in the tree and he continues ahead. And then she and Dick escape and follow in Tom's footsteps towards the Norks.
Yeah, and that's when we finally get the main boss who at the beginning ran the raid with the helmet.
We need to talk about the bridge scene, though.
Okay.
Well, don't you think?
Well, it's
just briefly
extended.
Well, I'll give you the abbreviated version. There's like a weird guy who's like Sir, what is it, Didypus from Labyrinth?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever his name is. He's kind of like him as a person, but he keeps challenging anybody who tries to pass this bridge to a battle. And to the point where they cut off his limbs, but then each limb regenerates another version of him, so he quickly creates an
right.
army of himself. It's pretty hilarious.
It is really funny.
So, and everybody who has to pass him deals with this scenario. But
yeah.
it doesn't ever really give a resolution as to how they manage to get past him.
No, but it is a really funny scene.
Okay, so then off to the boss.
Yeah, off to the boss, and there's going to be a giant battle royale.
Because the boss of the Norks has been abducting loads of women to be servants to his men. Like,
yes.
So obviously she's not going to be cool with that because she's a feminist and she wants her ladies free.
And one of the people that the boss has captured is Tom's sister,
Harry.
Yes. And so then there's this like Mad Max style cage fight where everybody's
it's
in
like
their
gladiators.
Gear. And the costumes could not be funnier of what everybody, it's just a free-for-all.
It is like they took a costume box and said, everybody come up with it.
It's like they just said, whatever you can find in your parents' closet, put it on and make sure you put a swastika on it.
And then put a leather buckle on it.
Yeah. So there's this big Mad Max-style fight scene, and then they end up getting released because of, I don't even remember how they got out, but the main, like, boss that's even higher than who we thought was the main leader says, like, let them go. We will find you. We'll destroy you. And then they escape. It's a bit long. The scene kind of...
It drags.
It's a little long, but it's still really funny. And then that's when we get back to the bridge, and they decide that instead of, like, just leaving, they're going to turn around and they're going to make a stand. They're going to fight everybody and, like... free everybody.
Uh-huh.
And so they start putting together everything, and they're going to set up to have the final battle of this whole film. And it's really funny, but the set is awesome. Around the bridge, it's got, just so we can describe it, it's like a bridge that's broken, so it's sticking up into the sky, like it's pointing upwards that you can run up. I don't know where they found this, because I can't imagine they constructed it for the movie.
I don't know.
It's a really cool
Probably
set.
Probably some other movie set.
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah, no doubt. Everybody's in costumes, including one guy I saw dressed as Dracula. Did you see that? Okay, I'm glad you caught that. There's also a punk in a kilt. Did you see that one?
Yes, okay. And then they're also just randomly tossing barrels. It's just
I love this movie.
Chaos
so
and nonsense
much.
And like women warriors coming at them.
So they're fighting them all, and then basically they're cornered, they're about to be killed, and then reinforcements arrive.
Yes.
And all the warriors come back. It's not... Okay, in my... I imagine that the director thought it would be kind of like what would become that epic Lord of the Rings battle.
Yeah, like a big everybody riding in, but it's actually a small troop.
If you could take that Lord of the Rings battle and then whittle it down to 1/1000th of a percent, and then we're getting closer...
No, they had some very strong, very enthusiastic lady warriors, but it wasn't a big group.
It's great, but I feel like they thought it was being conveyed as more epic than it was.
Yeah, I would agree there.
But they meant well, and it's great. I loved it. And then also, okay, I know this is late to ask this question. Did you ever once ask this? Why are there gods and goddesses in a post-apocalyptic world?
Well, I don't know, but I pretty much just assumed that there had been some sort of, like, nuclear situation and radiation made them.
Okay,
because they're all human, but they have weird powers.
We were, like, an hour and 40 minutes in, and they had just finished the fight, the final scene. And that's when it finally, I stopped and I was like, wait, why is there even a god and goddess to begin with?
I mean, no, it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
None of it does. It's
and then, so the sister and brother, Tom and Harry, they decide, okay, we've battled everybody, but we've got to go our own ways. And so they get back on the ferry from the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
And they push off.
Outside of the town called Heaven's Gate, which we just glossed over, by the way. But
yes.
Okay.
And she, the warrior goddess, is sad about this because I think she had a fondness and this was the premonition
for Tom
from the witch lady that he would break her heart, right? When
yeah.
she was bathing in the moon
pool.
I think
the premonition was that she would die, but none of those things happen. And she just looks kind of down as he floats off. But Dick stays around with Shanda. Like, Dick and Shanda are like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but we're going to do this.
I feel like the premonitions had a footnote that were, like, subject to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or none of this makes sense. Bye.
But that's the end. They actually push off, and then we end with a ballad.
With Sandal being sad.
Yep. And that is the end of our film. That is
She.
No surprise that we are fans of this.
Yes.
I'm going to 100% give this the Laser Graves approval.
Oh, yeah. Watch it. It's real stupid.
Although I feel like I'm biased to pretty much all of these films, but...
If you like stupid movies that are fantastic, then you'll like this.
This is fantastic. This is really good.
Yes. Yes. Why would you not watch this? What's
no
wrong
complaints.
With you?
I don't do ratings at all, but I...
56 stars. Go.
Definitely will give this a thumbs up for sure.
Okay. Just
I love
one?
It.
Or two.
Oh, no, two for sure.
I guess you said thumbs, plural.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I have two thumbs on one hand, so technically.
Yeah, you do. So yeah. you've only given it two-thirds of your approval.
Two out of three thumbs. All right, everybody, that's she. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you like what you heard, you can help us out by following us, or you can rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. We're on Podbean, Spotify, all those areas. But follow us on Instagram. We're at Laser Graves. You can follow us on our personal sites on Instagram. I'm at Death at 33 RPM.
I'm at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And tell a friend. That's really helpful.
Please share.
Yeah, we're doing what we're doing. We're coming close to episode 40. I don't know. Maybe we'll do something special for that. Definitely at 50, right? Are you allowed to celebrate?
You're allowed to do whatever you want.
Episode 39 is our big celebration, our blowout.
Oh, let's do a weird one, yeah.
Okay. I don't know what we're doing next week, but it was really nice to take a break and dive into the world of swords and sorcery and post-apocalyptic female warriors.
Can you imagine how fun it would be to go to a she theme park?
Sure. I definitely can imagine how fun that would be.
Okay.
Okay, everybody. May the forces of Godan be with you on your side. Have a good night.